One of the biggest productivity hurdles is losing your data. Your computer crashes, you haven't backed stuff up, you've been meaning to, but you just never got around to it. That's where CrashPlan comes in. CrashPlan has been around since 2001, and they're a pioneer provider of cloud-based data protection and recovery services, both to individuals and businesses. And I guess ultimately, you've got to ask yourself, how much are your ideas worth, especially when you lose them? Whether it's a business plan, your images, your spreadsheets, your audio files, any of the files you use to work or manage your home. They've got options for everyone from solo creators to growing businesses. CrashPlan works efficiently in the background while you work, encrypting and sending all your new or changed files to their secure cloud every 15 minutes. And then if something happens to your files, your hard drive crashes, your cat knocks over a cup of coffee onto your laptop, or you just accidentally delete a file, your files are just a click away. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data with unlimited version retention. CrashPlan is your ultimate rewind button. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/beyond for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/beyond for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I am Eric Fisher. I'm your host. This is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity. This week, I'm excited to share with you a conversation I had with Abby Marks Beal. She's a speed reading educator, author, online course creator, corporate productivity expert. She's also the author of 10 Days to Faster Reading. And in this conversation, you guessed it, we're talking about speed reading. In the 10 years almost of this show, we've never actually done a full episode on speed reading, and that's what we're about to do. So I know I use speed reading, though not to the extent that I should or can, and I learned a lot from talking with Abby and going through the book. I know you will as well. There are some really cool ways to not just get through content that you're reading faster, whether it's digital or analog, but to absorb more, to comprehend better. Some people think there's a trade-off there where if you're speed reading, you're skimming and you're not getting enough out of it. Doesn't have to be that way. In fact, it doesn't have to be that way at all. You can speed read and comprehend even better. And that's what we're going to talk about in this conversation with Abby Marks Beal. Well, this week, it is my privilege to welcome to the show Abby Marks Beal. Abby, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Aaron. Pleasure to be here.
So I was really excited to get in contact with you because I realized we've maybe touched tangentially on speed reading on this show in the past. And it's definitely something that comes into play with productivity. It's how fast can you go through material and data and information, whether that's digital or analog in your hands or whatever. But I realized we've never had a dedicated show to speed reading on Beyond the To-Do List. And I am excited and ecstatic to have you.
I'm so privileged to be the one to bust all the myths and to help your audience learn a little more.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
So you're coming from this background of not only being like an educator, but you educate people literally on speed reading. You create online courses, you do corporate productivity training, and you're the author of the book, 10 Days to Faster Reading, but now you've got an updated book, Speed Reading, A Little Known Time-Saving Superpower. I think a lot of people have heard of speed reading and have preconceived notions. Let's start there. What are some of those speed reading myths that you need to bust in order to get people on board with you as far as your trainings go?
And yeah, there are quite a few myths, and it's really, some of it is legitimate because of what they may have experienced or what they've learned in the world. So I think one of the myths is, and as much as I hate this quote, I say it anyway, Woody Allen, who would say, I read War and Peace in 5 minutes, and it's a book about Russia. And so then people think that when you speed read that you don't get anything, that it's inefficient. Like, how could anybody read War and Peace in 5 minutes? Like, nobody can, first of all, and it's not just about Russia. So for me, what I look at with speed reading is that it's more about efficiency. So I talk about gears that pretty much everyone has built in like a 5-gear stick shift, kind of like your car. And basically everyone's stuck in those slower gears of 1 and 2, because for most people, they've never learned how to go into those higher gears. And so once you've learned some different strategies, and I call them active, mindful, and conscious strategies, you can then mindfully, actively, and consciously change your speed according to the road, in effect, like what you're reading, how much you know, how tired you are, how hungry you are, how interested you are or not, you know, where you're located. There's so many different things to be aware of when you read. It's not just, I'm just going to read. It's like, no, there is so much more to be aware of. It's a mindful process that most people were never taught. So I'll just give you my definition of speed reading. It's not reading as fast as you can without understanding. Okay, that's what a lot of people think it is. But mine is, it's a set of mindful, conscious strategies that allow you to get what you need quickly from any reading material in an efficient and an effective manner. That's different than reading just fast, because you don't want to lose your comprehension. You want to get what you need out of the material. And so once you learn how to do that, then it's like you can go through pretty much almost anything. And just a quick caveat is I'm talking more about nonfiction because that's harder. You know, that's harder to read. Stories are so easy because in the mind, we can picture it, we can imagine it. And it's so much more entertaining than like a science textbook or, you know, The Economist or, you know, whatever magazine that you're reading that's a nonfiction. So it's really more about first how to get through all that academic how to do stuff, and then you can also apply it to your fiction. So it's not like it's without the fiction, but I teach more for nonfiction.
Got it. Okay. And here's the thing. You've brought up two things that I want to connect really quickly. You talked about gears in a car and driving, and I want to relate that then to fiction versus nonfiction, because I think a lot of people here would say speed reading is not for fiction, because in the metaphor of driving the car, they want to enjoy the scenery. It's the difference between driving to go do an errand versus going for a drive, an enjoyable drive. I'm kind of addressing this as another, quote, myth, and I have held this, but I have speed read fiction books and still comprehended and retained them. What's your take on this in terms of speed reading nonfiction versus fiction?
So I think it's just like, it's the intention. It's like, what's your purpose? If you're on vacation and you're just sitting on the beach and you just want to read that book and you want to literally savor every word because it's just such a great read, you can go as slow as you want. You can go as fast as you want. You have that choice because your purpose is pure entertainment, right? You don't think that when you get home, you're going to have to like get tested on it, right? Or you don't have to know it in green. But when you have nonfiction, you want to be able to read it so that you are getting what you need from it. So what's your purpose? So I always tell people to ask yourself basically three questions. Why am I reading this? What do I need from it? How am I responsible for it? And how much time do I have? So why do I need it? Maybe it's for a work meeting or we're looking at the future trends. And so I'm looking into this book. I want to know what the future trends are. So then your responsibility is to identify what those future trends are. So then if you're reading a book on future trends and there's a whole, let's say, chapter on history, you might say, you know what, I don't really care about the history. And you can kind of do a quick read over that, a quick skim over it when you learn how to do it mindfully, actively, and consciously the way that I teach it. And then you just move on and find the information you're looking for. So you're more mindful and conscious and active in your approach. So it's why you're reading it, what do you need it for? So you read accordingly. And then how much time, if you have all the time in the world, take your time if you want. But if you don't, then you need to hurry up and figure out what strategies you want to use. I hope that makes sense.
It does, yeah. So, in talking about the gears, I'm curious. I just have always felt that I've read faster overall, and I've incorporated some speed reading techniques, but not like everything that you're providing in the book, some of which I've really like, ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to pick that one up and add to my toolkit. Add it to my optional gears, so to speak. But right. I'm curious if you've found, what are some of the, say, let's put it this way, default gear or speeds or options of speeds that we've got available to us?
So for most people, as I said, gears 1 and 2 is where they start or where they get stuck pretty much, unless they figured it out on their own, which some people have, how to go faster. But I think the default is probably like a gear 2, which is, let me just kind of plod along, read word, almost word for word. And they don't necessarily have to say it with their mouth, but they may hear it in their head. And so if they are going around gear one or two, they're kind of stuck at around 250, 300 words a minute, which sounds like a lot. But when you look at the material that you have to read, that could only be one page. So that's 1 minute per page or less or more, I should say, that you might read it in. And so if you can learn how to set yourself up, so I'm going to kind of like encapsulate everything that I teach. You set yourself up for success. You set yourself up sitting upright. You know, if you're doing this for like work, school, learning purposes, not pleasure. Okay. It's pleasure you can do upside down, inside out. I don't care where you do it.
Lay back, okay. Relax on the lay couch. Back. Yes.
That's right. Let your dog hold the book, you know, whatever you need. But when you're doing it for a purpose, like a learning purpose, you know, what you have is this place that is conducive for learning. So sitting usually at a place that we're used to learning, sitting at a desk or table without a ton of stuff around it, no clutter like around it. Your material is the only thing that's in front of you. You might have a notepad next to you. And in effect, before you start, you go, why am I here? What am I doing here? Why do I want this? What do I need it for? And then, you know, I have 20 minutes to get through as much as I can. So then as you start going through it, you can put your hands on the material to keep your place. In that book, the Superpower book, there's, I think, 13 different hand or card methods to use. And some people say, well, why would I want to do that? I said, because most of us never learned it, but it is so powerful for getting into gears four or five. And I readily admit that I can't easily get into gears four or five without using my hands or a card. It's almost like shifting it into overdrive is really what it does. And so getting comfortable with those would be really, really helpful for people.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent. Match with them, thanks to Indeed. With Indeed, you can ditch that busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, making their matching engine your go-to because it's constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. I used to be involved giving my input into the hiring process for a few key roles that were connected to mine. And man, do I wish we had Indeed back then, because we could have gotten much higher quality hires using Indeed. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility on Indeed.com at Indeed.com/to-do list. Just go to Indeed.com/to-do list right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/to-do list. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. According to the CDC, 74% of the U.S. is overweight. That is a staggering number, and it means that the majority of adults, like myself, need to lose weight to improve our metabolic health. The good news is Prolon can help. Prolon is fasting with food. That's right, it's fasting, but it's with food. And it all starts with Prolon's 5-day program. Snacks, soups, and beverages are all designed to activate your body's fasting state, and it's unlike anything you've ever experienced. With Prolon, you get everything you need, prepackaged, ready to go. Every order of Prolon's 5-day program comes with 5 boxes labeled by day, so you know what to eat each day. Prolon is science-backed nutrition that helps support blood sugar levels and cardiovascular health, and change your relationship with food in just 5 days. I've had experience with fasting myself, both intermittent and otherwise, and Prolon makes it so much easier. It's not a diet, it's science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. Right now, Prolon is offering Beyond the To-Do List listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/beyond. That's prolonlife.com/beyond for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/beyond. What's something that works so well, it basically feels like magic? For me, I'm thinking air conditioning, noise-canceling headphones, definitely. Meeting-free Fridays? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your own shop stage to the first real store stage, you don't have to just sell your own stuff anymore. With Shopify Collective, you can curate products to sell from brands you love and give your customers more variety and your business more sales. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Shopify also helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/beyond. Again, go to shopify.com/beyond now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/beyond. So with the card under your hand, what is it about that that helps you? What is the principle there that allows your eyes and your hand and your brain and all of you to engage with the material better/faster?
So I just came up with this analogy. I've never used this before. But imagine you're standing on the edge of a mountain and you're looking out onto the horizon and you go, oh, isn't that beautiful? And then you could say, well, what's beautiful? Then you point to what's beautiful and you narrow your focus into what's beautiful. That's kind of what happens with your hand or card, because there's all these words on this pages. However, we need to focus in on where are we at the moment. And so by putting your hand or card on the page, what it does is it focuses you. So you're not looking at all the stuff that's there, but what you're getting at is, where am I? Let me stay where I need to be, because there's so many places you could go with your eyes. Your eyes follow movement. Like if there's a fly right now that goes in front of your screen, your eyes would be like, huh, what's that doing there? You know, it's like your eyes will follow it. And if you create that movement on your page, be it on paper or on screen, I teach people how to read on screen as well. You then are able to follow that and your eyes are happy and your brain's happy and you're keeping your place and moving along. And that's kind of the reason. It focuses your attention where you need to be.
There's a program that I use called Brain FM. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that at all.
I've heard of it, but I don't know. Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me.
So what it does is, and I'll link up to it in the show notes, but what it does is it does almost in an audible way what visually you're suggesting the cards and your fingers do, is that it gets your brain into the right brainwave pattern and kind of does that, you know, puts up the blinders in terms of distractions elsewhere. So it gets your brain into learning / there's reading modes actually in it. And so, you know, so there's sleeping, there's napping, there's meditation, there's relaxing, there's focus. And some of the focus ones deal with reading or studying specifically. And they really do help when it's, you know, plowing through emails, or really helpful if you're doing, you know, speed reading. I've found that that actually is a secret sauce for that.
I will definitely look at that. So is it kind of like where they talk about how the heart rate is at 60 beats per minute? So if you listen to like Mozart, it helps to get your heartbeat down and you'll process better because you're more relaxed. Is it that kind of a thing?
It's similar to that. Yeah. It's I don't want to call it music, but it is music. It has tones and different things inside of it that play. And again, through auditory sensory input, puts your brain waves into a certain, I'm going to just mince words here and claim I know what I'm talking about, but like theta waves or certain brain waves allow you to do certain tasks better than others. Mm-hmm. And so getting your brain waves into the right place, pattern, et cetera, for those activities with this music is the goal of it. And it works really well for me and others that have tried it. So I'll link up to it in the show notes.
Yes, please. And I'm going to check it out. And I think what I'm hearing, or what it makes sense to me, what I'm understanding, is that if you do put that in and, you know, in the background or have it inside of your listening, that what you can then do is when you know how to move your eyes in a more rhythmic fashion. And so you learn how to find either, and I talk about keywords or phrases using your hands or card, it can really expedite your ability to not just read quicker, but to really understand as you're going. So it sounds powerful. I wish I had known about it before, but yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds good. You'll be probably not the only one hearing this for the first time. So
right.
I suggest everybody check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, that's great. Thank you. I love learning too.
and again, I think that speaks to what you were just speaking to, which is when you're wanting to focus, and there's a productivity tip for you there, environment counts. It matters.
So much.
You've got to set your environment up for the activity that you're going to do, in this case, speed reading.
And so here's something else that I've found over the years. So I've been doing this over 30 years. Long time ago, just briefly, I used to hate to read. And that's how I got into this in a way, is that, you know, the universe put me into a job where I was taught how to teach reading to kids. And I was like, what do you mean? That's not what I want to do. And then it was just like, once I learned this stuff, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And so what happens is nowadays, with all of us on our phones and the emails and the dinging and the pinging and I'm texting, whatever, we have this difficulty in doing one thing at a time, monofocusing. And so when you learn how to monofocus, when you can monofocus, you're going to do much better with reading. But if you're constantly scattered thinking about all these other things and trying to multitask, which, by the way, is not really true, you're just cycling. You might know this. You cycle through one thing at a time. You're not really doing two things at once. And so when we start to learn how to calm the nervous system to do one thing at a time, we can read better. But there are people that don't read or can't read because they can't settle their minds. And so I even include in my, when I do webinars these days, I talk about mindfulness. I don't do a big thing on it, but just so you know, monofocus is an issue. And if we can learn how to meditate or do yoga, tai chi, breathing exercises, anything to get us out of the to-do and into just being, will help when we start to read, because we need to just focus on that one thing and not the 50 other things that we have circling around.
Perfect. You know what? I think we should step back. We've already done some tips, tricks, tactics. Let's rewind and say, someone who maybe they've tried it before or have never tried it, how do you restart or start getting a handle on, okay, how do I test this out and see if this is like something for me? I know you would say everybody can do it. It's just to varying degrees and how much you're going to put into it. But how does somebody get started with speed reading?
Great question. I would say one of the things is first find out where you are, what's your reading speed and your comprehension. So I do have, and we just posted it, the pandemic was helpful in this way that it gave me the time to do this, that I posted on my website at revitupreading.com, take a test and you get to test your reading speed and your comprehension. And so it's very helpful at least to get a baseline and what do your numbers mean? And then from there, what I do suggest, and this is, again, because it's my stuff, on my website, we call it free course access. Today, within a week or two, it's going to be called free sneak peek. Same thing, just a different name. And it gives you one of the modules of my online course for free. And it shows you this really cool exercise called Discipline Your Eyes. It's like my favorite thing to share with people. And I think it's in the Superpower book. But when you see it actually being explained and you're demoed how to do it, it's really cool. And so that's kind of how you're going to feel like, okay, is this something that I can do, that I want to do, that I want to follow? If you're not somebody that reads in order to learn, and let's say an online course isn't what you want to do, I actually created an audiobook for 10 Days to Faster Reading. Why? Because some people just don't want to read to learn faster. So I made an audiobook. So it just depends on, you know, some people are kinesthetic. So that's where the online learning course would be good. Decide how you prefer to learn and then look at what are the options that are out there for learning.
You just brought something up that kind of, let me see if I can relate this. So there's this thing in podcasting where some people are, quote, purists and say, I will never listen to a podcast at a faster speed. I am not one of those people because I have a history with speed reading. Now, I don't like to crank it up to 2. I go to like 1.25, 1.3 with like a variable speed or something. And it just eliminates some of the gaps and helps me to focus. I mean, it's not about getting through it faster, although, because again, it's for pleasure, but it does help. And so I bring that up because you just mentioned audiobooks. And again, this could be maybe a shoehorn, if people know what that is, in, I'm dating myself here. This could be a way for people to find it more accessible, we shall say, to see that speed reading may be for them. Because again, the inner voice, the sub-vocalizing is what I really am getting at, is that as you're speed reading, one of the ways that you can read faster, and you know this, and I'm just stating it for the audience, is that sub-vocalizing is when you hear your voice, or somebody else's voice, for that matter, the author's voice.
It's your voice.
Sometimes, though, when I'm reading like an autobiography, I kind of imagine the author's voice, if it's, especially if it's somebody like you've heard a lot. I could give examples, but I don't know.
Matthew McConaughey was one I did when I read it. Yeah, that was like, I totally could hear him when I was reading that.
And that's one that's actually really worth listening to, when because he really, he really literally does read it, and he's got such a great voice. But all that to say, one of the ways to get out of your own way that you would suggest is to work out, and let's actually talk about that for a second, work out and get over the sub vocalizing. Once I realized that was a thing I was doing, now at first I was just speeding it up. I was hearing the voice faster.
That was kind of a strategy.
That was a baby step. But then once I could get to the point where it was absorb the words and move through them quickly without hearing them in my head, our brains are more capable, as you would say, of absorbing this information faster. It's just that we are unintentionally slowing down by going by the guidance of that voice. So how do we get over sub-vocalizing, I guess, is the question that that leads to.
Sub-vocalizing, first of all, for most people, came from the way that we've learned how to read, that we learned phonically, meaning we looked at something, sound it out, hear it in your head. And so that's how we learn to recognize words, and we get a sight vocabulary by doing that. But sub-vocalization is not something to quote unquote eliminate, but to reduce is the goal. So if you read every word right now, if you can get first to every other word, then to every third word, and just like a couple of words per paragraph, and the faster that you go with good strategy, like if you're reading a paragraph, you're using your hands or card, you're looking for either keywords or phrases or both of them, and you know why you're there and you know what it's, I mean, it's just like you can just go through it, then you can find that your ability to understand is there, and you feel just like so, it's just like such an amazing feeling when you can do that, if that makes sense. So we're trying very hard to manage our time, mental energy, along with what we're doing with our minds and our bodies, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes, it does. So I hope that that's a helpful insight to somebody out there who maybe is an audiobook, and duh, you're a podcast listener if you're hearing this. So it's just a matter of, have you ever dialed the speed up on one before on an audiobook or a podcast? That is a way of speed reading. It's just, you're not doing the reading, but it is reading. So,
and so the idea is that you're not hearing the voice in your head every word. It's like your eyes are seeing it. So here's what I explain. When you learn how to read, your eyes look at the page. And as we're learning phonically, we sound it out with our lips. We hear it with our ears, and then it goes to our brain. And the problem with that is that we don't really need our mouths and our ears in order to officially read. We just need to have it go from our eyes to the page, from the page to our brain, and in effect be mute and deaf as we go through this. I mean, I don't mean to be cruel, but just like, we don't really need those parts of our body in order to read. So if we can learn to go from the page to our brain more than circumventing through our mouth and our ears, it's going to help our reading for sure, for sure. And so it's about, you know, having a good sight vocabulary is helpful, meaning you look at words and you know what they mean. Like if you go into something very technical, like if I sat down with a lawyer right now, right? Lawyers have all their legalese, you know, and a lawyer reads their stuff and I read their stuff, they're going to be better at it because it's what they know. It's their background knowledge. For me, it's like I'm efficient, but I get stuck because I don't have that sight vocabulary, that background knowledge. So it's a lot of it is dependent on what you already know. You know, so people ask me like, so should kids be, you know, like first graders, second graders? I want my son or my daughter to take this. I'm like, no, I don't teach that. I said, wait till they're 12 or 13, till they have a really decent sight vocabulary. Don't speed up their reading. Let them enjoy it. You know, let them enjoy word for word and, you know, enjoy that piece until they actually go into the speed part. That's just my take on it. Not everyone thinks that way, but yeah. I believe that.
It sounds similar to, I have a 10-year-old son now. He's a great reader, actually. Great. He never really had a lot of the issues. Well, I wouldn't say I have issues. It was that I noticed the quirks in the English language where certain words that sound one way are spelled, in my opinion, still incorrectly for the sound that they make when you speak them. But when you read them, if you don't know that word yet, you would say something. I'm not going to even come up with an example, but it sounds like that to me, is that if you broaden, it's getting that mental memory and learning in place. At this point, as an adult, you see a word. I know what the word is. I know how to spell it. I know how to say it. I know the meaning behind it. the symbols of those images of letters grouped together makes this, you know, I was a communications major, if you can't tell. And that
you're
was
agreeing,
one of the,
you're agreeing.
That was one of the most fascinating parts was just symbols and imaging and language being part of that. So that's what that makes me think of.
That's perfect. Yes. That makes a ton of sense.
So here's the thing. I'm thinking about, again, my 10-year-old son who does a lot of physical book reading, but also a lot of time on iPads. And heck, for that matter, we've just done lots of e-learning time in the past few years when it comes to pandemic, et cetera. Comprehension when it comes to digital versus analog. I know that that's been something that like people have debated about. Let me put it this way. I've heard smart people say that there are studies where you can comprehend information deeper, better, et cetera, when it comes to analog books or analog material versus digital. One, what's your take on that? And two, what's the difference speed reading wise between those two avenues?
So there is personal preference that has to get put in here because you ask people that are close to my age what they prefer, and most of them would say an analog. They like books. They want magazines. They want the books. They don't really want to be on screen. And for me, I'm on screen like all day long. And so if I want to read a book, the last thing I want to do is to stay on my screen to read a book. That's just my own take on it. So I like to have a physical book. So like even that Superpower book, I made sure that it is available in print for those people that want to have it printed. You can get it on Amazon, print it, because I totally get that you don't want to read it on screen, right? And so in terms of comprehension, the same strategies that are taught for analog, for print, for reading on paper work digitally on screen a little differently, but they're taught in my course anyway. And so it's about active, mindful, conscious strategies. And it doesn't necessarily have to be completely different. Now, there's a big difference in lighting. So you look at a book, the light comes from out above you, you know, onto it. So there's a reflection onto the white paper. Whereas on your screen, it comes from inside. There's like the font size, how clear or unclear it is, and colors and ads. And, you know, there's so many different things. And I want to plug something. I don't get anything for it. It's a great app called Beeline Reader, Beeline Reader. And what it does is you go into a web page. Once you get this app, you go into a web page, you click on it. It basically puts it in different colors. So it goes black across one line and red across the next line and green. So you follow it because of the color. And then when you put it in active reader mode, it takes out all of the ads and puts it into a strict, basically, you know, same line. Every line is the same length long, and you just go straight down the page. It's just a beautiful thing in this world that's just vying for your attention. So Beeline Reader is like my go-to when I read on websites.
That's great.
There are hacks that you can do, you know?
Okay. I'm going to make sure to link up to that in the show notes as well. So
yeah,
anybody who's driving and listening can
It's two E's on that. B-E-E. B-E-E-L-I-N-E.
L-I-N-E.
Yeah.
Reader. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. So
yeah,
say you're somebody like me who has been a speed reader in the past, and I typically am in like gear 3. That's kind of where I live. What are some of the ways that maybe somebody that's more advanced like me can bump their speed up a gear?
So you say you're in third gear. Is that where that's where you live? But remember, you have 5 gears built in. Sometimes you can go slower on purpose because maybe you need more information. Maybe you want to savor it. Maybe you want to pay more attention to it. And then you can also learn how to go to 4 and 5 by really trying to press your hands or card, you know, on the page or on the screen. And you can use Spreeder, Spreeder.com. They have, I think it's Reader Pro now, but they do have a free version, a beta version, where you basically plug in any text that you want to read and it force feeds you, and you can change the speed on it to go from like 300, 400, 500, 600 words a minute, 1 word at a time, 3 words at a time, 5 words. You set all the parameters and you force feed it. It really helps your eyes and brain to start to learn how to communicate more efficiently. Like the eyes will pick up more stuff quicker. So you can work with those things, but just remember you have 5 gears. So people say to me, so what's your reading speed, Abby? So I'll just put that out there. And I tell people, well, I have 5 gears like anyone else. I could read it 100 words a minute if I wanted, but I'd say probably I start around 300 to 400. That's like my lower gears. And I go to 1200 to 1500. That's my gear shift most of the time. Now, some people will say, okay, that's amazing. Oh my gosh. But then there are other people that go, I can read 2,000, 5,000, you know, words per minute. It's not as many. You know, there's a bell curve of people that read. And so there's a few at the end that can read that fast. But for most of us, we have this, like, if you could go between 300 and 1,200 words a minute and have that flexibility, that's pretty darn good with good comprehension. That's what you're looking for.
Yes. I think I've probably gotten into, like, say, gear 4 before. I'm looking to see how I can more quickly and easily get into, say, 4 and 5. I will often do, you know, 1 and 2. I just think that 3 is where I kind of default, where it's like, okay, get through this. And with the practice that I've had with speed reading in the past, it's not hard for me to get there. So one of the other things I was going to ask was, I know that part of the advancement of our speed or figuring out how to get into all the gears is undoing bad reading habits. Let's list off maybe some of those and ways we can, you know, approach undoing those.
So when you talk about undoing, are you talking about like talking, like the sub-vocalization and the whispering type thing?
I think we've already actually addressed some of them that would be categories.
There's two more. So you just talked about sub-vocalization, mental whispering, talking, and I explained how speed can help you to not be reading every word, and having very active mindful conscious strategies will help. So regression is the next bad habit that a lot of people have. And a lot of times it's a learned habit where as your eyes track across the line, they tend to come backwards. And you can see this in my classes. Sometimes I have two people who don't know each other typically, and they have a magazine in front of them. And I say, watch this other person read. And their eyes will go across, but then they'll track back, and then they'll go forward, and then they'll kind of track back. It's like there's this distrust that we have created when we read, like, oh, I didn't catch that, so I'm going to go back. But it's almost unconscious how that works. And so we have to learn how to keep our eyes marching forward more often than not. And that's where, like, using a white card is, like, perfect. Because the white card, when I talk about it, is not putting it under the words you read, but putting it above the words so that you are not blocking where you're going. You're leaving it open. I hope that makes sense. So you put a card above. So this way you have to kind of, you can't go back unless you intentionally remove the card.
You finish a line, and as soon as you're hitting the end of the line, you're moving it down a line. And so your eyes don't have the chance to scan back over that previous line. It's got to jump back to the far left and go again on a new line.
Right. Active mindfully consciously say, you know what? I didn't catch that. I was going too fast, or I was daydreaming, or whatever. But learning how to keep your place, you know, is going to help. Using your fingers or a card helps to reduce the regression for sure. Having an intention. Why am I reading this? Sitting in a good place. I mean, all these things. But the other habit that all of us have is mind wandering, daydreaming. And that's okay. Some of it's okay. But I call this good daydreaming and not so good daydreaming. So good daydreaming is when you're reading about something, you know, let's say a place like Finland, like you're reading an article about Finland and, oh, wow, I went to Finland 3 years ago, and you're just really involved in it. And so you're daydreaming, applying what you're reading to what you experience. That's great because that's how we learn things. We build bridges of knowledge from what we're reading to what we know. But bad or not so good daydreaming is when we're thinking about, I gotta call the tire guy, and you know, I need to pick up my daughter at such and such time. Or, you know, it's about your to-do list. It's about the conversations you have had, need to have, you know, whatever. So it's when it's not targeted is what you need to be looking at, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So you're trying not to, everyone will daydream. It's trying to reduce the not so good daydreaming and to accept the good daydreaming for what it is and say that's a good thing.
Well, and that's, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, that's where the Brain FM listening will kind of block out some of that bad daydreaming. It will reduce that and get you focused in on what you're doing in front of you. So
correct. Yeah. So being active, mindful, and conscious will help reduce mind wandering or daydreaming, going back over the words that you've been reading, and also the sub-vocalization. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. We've covered so much. Obviously,
yeah, we have, actually. There's
a lot. What's great is we've actually covered a lot, and there's still so much more that's in the book that we have not covered. And I'm going to leave it there. I think people should go grab the book. So let's point people to where they can find out more about the book and or grab it.
Thank you. So I know I do have it on my website at revitupreading.com under the store. However, I really think, especially people that have Kindles or want to get a printed version, it's best to go online, to go to like Amazon. I think Barnes & Noble is carrying it. It's also internationally as well. There's international bookstores that are also carrying it. So it's just Speed Reading, A Little Known Time-Saving Superpower by myself. And I have a colleague, Pam Mullen, who does some of the stuff in the book on the online reading. So it's a dual kind of thing together.
Awesome. I'll link up to that in the show notes there so people can find it. And that way they can find out more about you as well. Abby, this has been great. I can't wait to see what impact this is going to make for people.
I hope it's positive. That's all I ask for them. Is, you know, I will tell you the one thing that I do hear from people is that once they learn this stuff, it's like they were now allowed to go and enjoy the world. Once they've learned how to read this, like, oh my gosh, this is so life-changing. And this is what people tell me. And I get it because it has been incredibly life-changing for me. And so I encourage people to dip their toe a little bit and to learn more because it really can help them personally and professionally.
Yes. Awesome. Well, I am hoping and wishing that for everybody listening. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's another podcast crossed off your listening to-do list. I hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Abby Marks Beal. I know that I enjoyed it. I hope that you didn't listen to it at too fast a speed, if you get my joke. If not, it's always fun to explain it, but I'm not going to do that. So I'll link up to her book in the show notes for this episode. It's definitely worth picking up. It really helped me go beyond what we covered in this conversation. There's much more. There's way more, in fact, for you to dive into and get more out of your stuff. Not just get through stuff faster, but get more out of it as you're reading. If you found this episode helpful, and I hope you did, would you do me the favor of sharing it with somebody you know needs to hear it? All you need to do is hit that share button in your podcast player app of choice and then share it with that one person you know needs to hear this episode. Thank you again for sharing. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next episode.